We here at Yahoo Finance, like most financial journalists, love our charts. And I'm sure you do too. We got to tell you, what are the most important charts that you want to watch next year to figure out the direction of the economy and the markets? Well, for that, we need a little help from an old friend. Sam Rowe is the editor of the TKR.co and wrote up some of these charts and flagged some of these charts for us. Sam, good to see you. Happy holidays. Let's take a look at the one of these that you flagged, and that's job openings, which jolts, in other words. This thing has gotten sort of unprecedented attention over the past couple of years. It never was the primary chart, and it's just gained a lot of importance.
Yeah, no, it really has. It's I guess the jolts, the job openings and labor turnover survey, which sort of lags the official employment report by a month, has gotten a lot of attention because it's captured all the turnover that's been going on in the labor market since the beginning of the pandemic. A lot of the other metrics like quits rates and all this stuff has been getting a lot of attention, but job openings, is just incredibly interesting. I mean, you think about the state of the economy right now and the stock market and earnings, and you do hear about a lot of positive things happening about how consumer spending is, back to new record highs and GDP is back to record levels. But we have 11 million job openings, and job openings, an employer doesn't put out a job opening unless, they're trying to fill some sort of unmet demand. And so job openings is an incredibly bullish leading indicator in that, there are a whole lot of businesses saying that we need more people to, conduct business, to manufacture goods, to, serve customers as they come into our store, or diners when they come into our restaurants. So I think this is going to be an, very important one to watch, because as long as those job openings are high, it's signaling to us that there's still a lot of demand that's being unmet in the economy.
Sam, I know you're also watching delivery times because really one of the stories of this year has been supply chain problems.
Yeah, I think delivery times probably captures the supply chain issue most succinctly. And yeah, they're all elevated. Like, the indicators are starting to turn lower a bit, but they're still extremely elevated. And one of the things that's really interesting about supplier delivery times is it has a pretty tight correlation. Like that specific chart that shows that elevated level based off of manufacturing and purchasing manager surveys is it's very tightly correlated to inflation rates. And so what that suggests is, as supply chains improve and those delivery times get better, we could see some, significant relief in the inflation rate.
So there are lots of different ways to sort of slice and dice that stuff, right? To try and figure out what's happening with the supply chain and the effect it's having on companies. And one of your other charts is another side of that, another nuance of that, the inventories to sales ratio, because we know that inventories have been falling. This is, I hadn't seen this particular chart though. This is a cool one in terms of looking at that ratio.
Yeah, inventory of sales is just again, it's another one of these stories that I guess it's probably something that the consumer sees a little bit more. When you go to a store and they don't have something in green, so you buy it in navy, or they the bulk size oatmeal isn't for sale, so you buy the individual packets instead. Yeah, I mean, this is all a result of both a combination of tight supply chains as well as really strong demand from consumers and businesses. But what's really interesting about inventory levels and inventory to sales ratios is even if you have a situation where the end demand is cools off a little bit, businesses, stores, warehouse, all these entities that have deflated inventory levels are still going to need to restock these inventories because they just want to be better prepared for their customers when they do come through those doors. So, the fact that inventories continue to be depressed is just incredibly another one of these really sort of bullish looking leading indicators. Because even if, again, even if that end demand cools, businesses still want to make sure that they have stuff in their stock rooms and, for when that demand does return.
This is making finance fun, Sam. It feels like we're revealing toys on live TV here. I know you're also watching profit margins. And to me, listen, I'm surprised. Profit margins this year have remained so resilient. I mean, look at all the inflation we have seen, labor, cost of goods, you name it.
Yeah, no, this is probably, you know, one of the crazier stories of the year. And you know, you guys were just talking about, you know, what's been going on with the stock market and how it's been surging. And, you know, behind stock prices is earnings, and, you know, underlying those earnings is profit margins. And when profit margins are strong, all things being equal, you know, that earnings growth is going to be a lot more robust. And so, yeah, it's really incredible, especially with so many executives and businesses and, you know, trade group representatives and stuff, you know, all year has been screaming about inflation and how rising costs of goods and rising wages and all these things that are, you know, pressuring costs, you know, ultimately didn't affect the profit margins. Because of, you know, there, you know, there's a number of things going on with these companies. You know, they're figuring out how to squeeze more productivity out of, you know, the few people that they have working for them. I mean, you know, again, we just talked about job openings, right? They're still figuring out how to, you know, deliver goods, even though, you know, they're sort of stretched for capacity. So they're getting more, you know, operating efficiency out of their existing businesses as demand returns. But the other thing that, you know, is just one of the more triggering, upsetting things that people hear about is companies have pricing power, that they are raising prices and they're passing these increased costs off to their customers, and the customers are taking it. And you know, we've you know, read all the stuff about, you know, higher incomes and rising wages, obviously excess savings, and then, you know, corporate cash piles and stuff. The, you know, customers, businesses, consumers, you know, they're going to be really upset about, you know, how much the price of what they're buying has gone up, but they're buying it anyways. And that's something that's come through in retail sales data. It came through in today's consumer spending data. It's just incredible. And, you know, corporations are very smart about this. They are aware of, you know, what's going on with their customers. And so they're raising prices, and, you know, the sales are holding up. And so they're going to keep doing that until, you know, they get some actual pushback.
It's interesting. You mentioned all the different constituents that have sort of been noticing that. Congress has been noticing it too. We've gotten a little bit of political rhetoric around that also. But the thing is, as I look at that profit margins chart, you can't help but think it's going to keep expanding next year. I mean, we've been talking about peak profit margins, right? We talked about that earlier this year. But if component prices, if inflation on the wholesale level actually starts to go down, which there are plenty of predictions that it will at some point, and these companies don't cut their prices, those profit margins are only going to expand, right?
Well, I think the way, so there was, you know, this is something that's been coming up with a lot of, you know, the strategists, you know, 2022 outlook notes, that, you know, everything from relief on the supply chains, you know, jobs being filled, you know, all these things that, you know, become a little bit more disinflationary. And, you know, of course, we're also talking about, you know, tapering QE at an accelerated rate and the Fed raising interest rates potentially next year. All these things are, there's a lot of, you know, forces that seem that look like they're going to bring some relief to cost pressures. But I'm not quite sure that necessarily means that profit margins are going to, you know, continue to expand or hold up. It's possible that, you know, if costs do start to come down, then, you know, businesses, you know, as they look to, you know, steal market share from their competitors, might get more competitive when it comes to pricing so that they can just get a bigger share of the market. So, yeah, I think profit margins ends up becoming a wild card. But I think what's going on with elevated profit margins right now is probably, you know, companies, you know, trying to, you know, be a little bit cautious, even though it means, you know, potentially foregoing on stealing market share from their competitors.
Sam, you're up 24/7 pretty much studying markets and stocks. What's the biggest thing you learned about markets this year, or just reminded about markets?
I think probably the most interesting, I mean, I think there were two things that really, kind of jumped out this year. Bank of America strategist Savita Subramanian, had this really nice quote, a couple of weeks ago, and she said that something along the lines of, "It's dangerous to wager against corporate America." So just like we were talking about with, profit margin and pricing power and, all these different things where there's this huge acceleration in earnings growth, is that businesses will figure out a way to conduct business and grow and, enhance shareholder value. So that's one thing that I think was a good lesson for everybody. And the second thing is that, consumers are just relentless when it comes to consumption, right? Like, again, even if it's, there might be inflation, there's, a pandemic out there. I think, particularly when we saw the Delta variant, earlier in the fall, and this was an incredibly, dangerous variant of COVID. But during that period, we saw not only did we see retail sales continue to grow, but they grew at rates that far exceeded economists' expectations. And all that goes to show is that people, regardless of the dangers of what's going on out there, they're gonna try to figure out a way to live their life and consume and experience those experiences, because I don't know what it is. Maybe there's a YOLO or life is short factor, but yeah, don't underestimate, businesses' ability to adapt, and don't underestimate consumers' sort of hunger to consume.
Maybe they can pick up a sweet vintage Dr. No poster too. I'm feeling a little inspired by your decor, Sam. Sam Rowe, and Sam, did I say, is it, you say ticker.co? Yes, I said it wrong, didn't I?
I don't think there's really a wrong way to say it, but lately I've been pronouncing it as ticker.
Ticker.
It started as TKER, but now it's ticker.
Okay, ticker. Editor of Ticker, Sam Rowe. It is always such a pleasure. Repping that beautiful swag this morning from ticker.co. Our one-time own Sam Rowe. Oh, you'll always be our own Sam Rowe. Thanks so
I'm
much for
correct.
joining us this morning, and happy holidays, Sam.